Oh, you're going to love the next guest. Mark Neal is on the podcast, and he's a former police officer in Colorado. And when he left, when he retired from law enforcement, he went on to become a very successful entrepreneur. And I love having guests like this on the show that are former Leos, and they go on to continue to go on to do big and better things outside of the profession. You must listen to this great show with Mark Neal next on the CJ Evolution podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Patrick here. We continue to grow because of you, the listener and supporter. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of your valuable time with me. Happy Thanksgiving. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving and you were safe. Special thanks, big shout out to the brave men and women who protect us on Thanksgiving and every day out of the year. Our brave men and women in uniform, thank you so much for what you are doing. You are loved. You are cherished. Keep up the fantastic work. Folks, I am so excited about my book. My micro book, Evolve, is here. It's a collection of routines, habits, and advice to take charge of your life and become your best self. I wrote it for you, the first responder, the criminal justice professional. If you want an autographed copy of Evolve, hit me up on Instagram, Twitter, DM me, direct message me, and I will get you a signed autographed copy of Evolve. If you want a free ebook version, head over to cjevolution.com. You're going to see a drop down where you can get the free ebook. You are going to love this book. Folks, as we head into the holiday season and beyond that, I know a lot of you struggle with obstacles, problems that you are facing in your life, and you're thinking, man, I wish I had somebody that could help me, somebody that could coach and mentor me. Folks, I'm that person. And I have my Evolve coaching that can help you not only identify the issues you are dealing with, but get past them, and most importantly, sustain that momentum going into the future. If you head over to the website, you're going to see my coaching tab. Sign up for a free 45-minute discovery call, and let's get you on the path to a better you. I want to give a big shout out to our sponsor, Detect-A-Chem. This amazing and innovative company is helping keep our brave men and women who protect us every day safer by offering this amazing technology that fits in the palm of your hand. This technology can detect illicit drugs, explosives. I wish they had this technology when I was a younger officer, but they have it now. You are going to be amazed at how they can help you protect your troops better. Head over to the website, see the link to Detect-A-Chem, and see what they can do for your agency. On to the show with Mark Neal. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I am super excited to have my next guest on the show, Mark Neal. Are you there, buddy?
I am here. Yes, I am.
Well, thank you for being here, brother. I know you're right down the road in Denver, but I know you're busy. You got a lot of stuff going on. We're going to get into that. I always like asking Leos or former Leos, such as yourself, how you got into law enforcement. What made you get into police work, brother?
I don't like bullies.
I don't either.
I don't like bullies. I was always the kid. I was always a little bit bigger than most everybody else. And I always knew like the tough kids and I knew the good kids. And I was always like the person who the good kids would come to me to keep from getting their stuff stolen by the tough kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up in San Francisco and I went to public schools in San Francisco. And so, you know, we had a big cross section of people. So, but I was always larger than most everybody else. I mean, I kind of calmed down as I grew up, but I just couldn't handle people taking advantage of somebody else who was not as strong as them or not as, you know, that just kind of carried me through. You know, I mean, everybody gets in law enforcement for different reasons, you know, like they don't want drugs or they don't want this, that, or the other thing. But mine was always, and very definitely, I just can't stand bullies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you had a long, thank you for your service, by the way, you had a long distinguished career up north of Denver in an agency. And what kind of things were you doing? I know we talked about it off the air, brother, but share with the listener what you were doing. You did some pretty cool stuff.
Oh, yeah, I had a great time. I was lucky to be in an agency that was fairly progressive at the time. And, you know, I got got into policing, started out in a jail. And I was really glad I started out in a jail in the county, in the sheriff's office. I've always been a big believer in communication and relationships, and how important that is to just our community and our society. And you really learn working in a jail that your physical size, your stature, whatever that is, that doesn't amount. You can't force 30 guys who are in jail to do anything, you know?
Yeah.
You have to motivate them to do it, right? And so you really learn the art of motivation, the art of just working with people and getting people to cooperate. So I did that for a few years. When I got in the city police, same thing. You know, my big thing is I look at a police officer as you're the liaison between the community and like the laws that keep things going. Mm-hmm. You know, in a very heterogeneous society, you got to have some sort of common ground where people say, okay, we'll work with each other within these parameters. Otherwise it's just chaos. Right. Mm-hmm. And, I really found what I wanted to do in law enforcement. And I had the opportunity to just like stand up for people who couldn't stand up for themselves and be their voice. And, the community stuff, I got into that. Actually was able to do, at one point I built a lowrider van. I put together, donations, community donations, and a lot of work myself. And we put together this van that's probably at the time, this is in the early 2000s, probably worth about $40,000. And it was all donated stuff. And I used to just take it to public relations events, fairs, parades, whatever, anything, and just have a point of introduction, a reason for people to talk to the police, other than to ask the typical law enforcement questions, and we did that for about 8 years, 8 or 9 years that van.
Yeah. And that's good stuff, Brad. I know you were into SWAT and all that other cool stuff. I mean, I thank you for your service. I can't say that enough. Love the Leos that come on. One of the things you've done, I want to get into what you're doing with your training group, brother, but you talk about helping, among many things that you do, you talk about helping law enforcement, improve its image. You watch the news, mm-hmm. Mark, you talk mm-hmm. to Leos everywhere. How can law enforcement improve its image right now? I mean, it's such a kind of a, and I guess it's always been a hectic time, but now more than ever, what can we do?
Here's my thing on that. I did a community workshops. I did a couple community workshops recently, and something I want to kind of do on an ongoing basis. And my biggest thing is that, we can't worry about what, community member X thinks about you. Mm-hmm. All you can do is control yourself, right? That's the only thing that you have control over. And a lot of times in law enforcement, we go, oh, well, they don't like us anyway. All right, so that's great. But that shouldn't impact how you behave. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't impact how you attempt to increase relationships, and develop relationships. And it's like, that's all you can do is control yourself. So, I used to love it. I'd come across people and they'd be like, oh, you cop. And I'd be like, you're right. I am a police officer. To me, cop is a four-letter word. But I say, you're right. I am a police officer. Let me talk to you about that. And I'd be down in our downtown bar district and I'm talking to people and we're having great conversations. And it used to be hilarious because their friends would come up and in the middle of a conversation, we've been talking for 20 minutes. And it's like, they go, hey, don't bait the dog. Right. Like I'm some kind of rabid dog about to attack him. And the person would be like, hey, wait a minute. We're having a great conversation here. Leave me alone. And it was just that. It was like, I'm in control of this, of how I present myself to the public. And I just think that in law enforcement, we've kind of done this kind of duck and cover or circle the wagons thing where it's like, no. Now is the time where we have to be even more open, right?
Yeah.
More drawing the public to us. Hi, we're approachable. We're here. We work for you on your behalf. We need to be a community here.
Yeah.
It's like we can't, it's my thing, people say, oh, you got to meet halfway. And I'm like, and I've always been, no. Sometimes you got to walk across the street and walk down the street with the other person to get that trust and help convince them that you're properly motivated, right?
Yeah.
That you have good intentions, and then get them to cross the street to your side of the street.
Yeah. Yeah, such so important. And I tell young cops, I talk to people all the time like you, Mark, and I always ask, you know, kind of a question that kind of raises some eyebrows, especially with young cadets. I'm like, what business do you think you're in?
Yeah.
They're like looking at me like I got another head or something. And I'm like, well, we're in criminal justice. I said, yeah, you're in there, but you were in the hospitality business too, mm-hmm. which is community relations. So much. I know we talk about this. I know it's harped on. We talk about communication. But I think some people just don't get it, you know, correct. But you're exactly right, brother. Sometimes you have to take that extra step.
Yeah.
You know, because the community is looking at you. You're a leader within the community, whether they like you or hate you.
Yep.
You got to take that extra step to go that extra mile. And like you said, that can make all the difference in the world, man, with changing that image one person at a time.
It doesn't cost you anything.
No.
It doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't hurt anything. And that's one of my things when I teach SWAT tactics is, you know, I got the type A's of the type A's, right? SWAT cops. So these guys are like, you know, they're, you know, great people. I mean, great officers and great operators. And I love it because they're there because they want to be, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I talk to them and I say, hey, you know, it doesn't cost you anything to be human. And what that does is that opens that door for that community member who may have had kind of a negative opinion of police officers because they see police officers as not human. But as soon as you start to present that humanity to them, they have to deal with that. Mm-hmm. They have to deal with that internal dissonance that they have, that internal conflict of, oh man, I wanted to really hate this cop, but they're human.
Yeah.
And I saw that with the lowrider van, right? I would take it places. And people would be like, you know, why do you have this? And I go, so that you come up and talk to me about something other than policing, you know, or about the ticket you got. And they'd be like, ah, oh, that's great. I had it one time at a little park and all these kids were inside of it. And I had the switches going and the music going and it's dancing and they're inside and they're laughing. And some lady comes up to me and she goes, and I'm standing around a bunch of parents. And she says, I don't get it. And I just stopped and I looked, I pointed at the kids in the car and I said, they do. And she went and walked away. And the other parents stand there, they go, that was perfect. Yeah, that was so great.
Yeah.
How you came back. And I go, no, I'm not going to argue with her, but it's not for everybody,
yeah.
But who it's for is who it's for. And it's like, but that's just, it is we as police officers have to be the ones to take that step and go, first and foremost, I'm a human being. And I want you to see me that way first, you know?
And it's not weakness, man.
No, it's not.
I think so many cops get wrapped up, well, I can't show them my true human side. I have to have this RoboCop face on all the time.
Yeah.
And man, I'm telling you, authenticity, being genuine. I'm not saying, I know what some of people might be listening. I'm not talking about letting your guard down.
No.
Or, you know, no. You know, compromising your officer safety. But I am talking about being human and let people in. Mm-hmm. That goes a long way.
Oh yeah. No, it's like we talk about in tactics, right? Hostage rescue. So you say, okay, if the suspect starts to dehumanize the hostage, you better be ready to make an intervention, because when we dehumanize, we're able to be treat people, abuse them, treat them rough, mistreat them, hurt them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my big thing. I used to say, we want to humanize. We got to bring back that humanity.
Yeah.
And you know, say, hey, yeah, it's not just the facts. I'm not a RoboCop out here. You know, yeah. I'm a human being. I'm a community member. I'm your neighbor.
Yeah.
And you know, that's it. I see all this stuff. Like when I was a training officer, I would, you know, I'd say, see, because new officers, they'd get their name badges and they always have just their first initial and their last name, right? And I'd say, see my badge, my name tag, I have my full name on there because I want people. I said, if I'm out in the middle of the street getting beat up by about four or five people, I want the neighbor to look out the window and go, oh my gosh, Mark's getting beat up in the street. Let me get him some help.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to see me as a person, you know,
right.
And not just officer, whatever. Right.
Yeah.
So
that's such great,
I don't know.
Great advice, brother. So that's a good segue into my next question for you. So a lot of people listening, maybe on the fence, you know, not all Leos in criminal justice listen. A lot of people maybe contemplating, you know, a career in law enforcement or criminal justice. What advice, you've been there, done that. What advice would you give them, brother?
My first thing is all this, and like I say, one of the things I put together is an online course for how to get hired. But first thing is first, where do you want to live? You know, because again, it goes back to the whole community idea, right? Where do you want to live? I think the hardest part, growing up in San Francisco, my mom worked in a doctor's office. She dealt with a lot of police officers who got injured on the job. And one of the things that we always talked about, or she always mentioned, is that how few of them lived in San Francisco. One, it's unbearably expensive, but at the same time, they would live far away because they didn't want to live where they policed. And I always thought that was not a good idea because of that investment that you have where you are, right? If you live someplace, you have an investment in the quality of life. Plus, to me, that also affects your accountability, right? You're more accountable to the community if you're also there when you're not working, right?
That's a good point, yeah.
I'm not going to be rude to people, and I learned that working in the jail. When I was, you know, being in the store in a Walmart or something, and with my kids, and they're little at the time, they're all grown up now, but and an inmate, former inmate, would walk up behind me and say, "Hey, deputy," and I'm like, "Whoa," and I knew that if they called me deputy, they only knew me from the jail, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I knew I didn't work with them, so they must have been a customer. And so, you know, it was that whole thing that I was like, wow, this person, I'm seeing these people in the community when I'm not in authority, right? And so it made me a little more accountable to how I treated people. And I think that's the first thing, is they got to know where do you want to live? What do you want to be a part? Because your investment's going to help you do a better job. And then, you know, of course, finding out about that agency specifically, and do you want to work at that agency, right? You know, what's the personality of the agency? What does it offer as far as career advancement, or you know, a breadth and a depth of a career? I think that's important, because some people get to a place and then they're like, oh, well, you know, I remember this from my academy. One of the instructors said, well, you know, you say we got somebody who comes to apply, and they go, "Oh, I really want to be a canine officer." And they're like, "Well, we're not hiring that person. Why not? Well, we don't have a canine unit."
Yeah. Do your research, people.
Yeah, do your research. Where do you want to work and where do you want to live? And I think that's the foundation of it all, right? And then everything beyond that is just, you know, figuring out how to take the tests.
Yeah. Now, that's a perfect segue, because you talk about this. Tell us the great things you're doing, brother, with Onyx Training Group.
Oh, it's I don't know how great they are, but I'm busy. But it's just, you know, my training company, I started it about a year ago, a little over a year ago. And I've been doing the tactical training since about 2001 or two. And nationally since about 2005. And then just this last year, I had the opportunity to go international to the UAE to do some training. But it's, you know, then I started my company. And what I'm really trying to do is my focus is bringing, you know, just bringing humanity back into, especially in the tactical arena. I started my company to do like diversity training, because I was a diversity trainer with my agency. And you know, a lot of cops don't really like to talk about diversity and stuff like that. They like to talk about tactics. So, but my big focus now in my company is like I say, it's to provide principle-based, human-focused tactical training. And you know, like that is, I think that you have to have principles and concepts to base your tactics on. You can't just teach tactics in a vacuum. I see it all the time, and it just doesn't work. And it's I'm trying to get tactical teams to go back to realizing that we're civilian police officers. We're not soldiers. We're not at war with our community. That we're servant guardians of our community. And what are we doing to maintain that, or to exemplify that? What I see is, how are you a guardian? And so my company's just been about trying to build that message and put that message out there.
I love it, man. So many great things. And we'll let people know how they can contact you and reach out to you in the show notes. Now, we talked about this a little bit off the air, Mark. I think it's so important for Leos out there, you know, that are still on the job to have a plan B, C, D, or E. And we talked about, you know, Leos have so many skill sets that they develop over the course of their career. Did you always have that entrepreneurial mindset, or how did you develop it?
No, I never had.
I love it. You
know, I was like, hey, just put me in a spot and give me a paycheck and I'm happy, right?
Like, and most of us.
Well, you know, and yeah, you know, you get, they sell you that idea that you're supposed to be doing that, right? Mm-hmm. But then if you're a person who starts to come up with these ideas and starts to come up with these thoughts and these visions and these things and these, what you see as improvements on a process or something like that, right? And you're saying, hey, guys, what about this? And you know, the organization that you're with kind of keeps telling you, yeah, that sounds great, but no. And you're like, well, wait a minute. I see an idea. I have something here. I know it works. And I just kind of started to develop that mindset that, hey, you know what? I've got a value here that I think has grown beyond what somebody else is going to allow me to do. Mm-hmm. So I think I need to take off on my own and figure out how I can market that value on my own.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that, like you just said, that police officers, you know, I'm a big believer in this. They develop a skill set and skills and abilities that put them in the position to be successful in any kind of endeavor. Mm-hmm. But they just get locked into fact that, oh, I know how to write a ticket. I know how to arrest people. And then they think that's it. And it's like, oh my gosh, man, you know, you're just your BS detector alone, you know,
that's worth, yes.
Yeah. Companies would pay so dearly to have somebody who can sit there and go, that person is full of it. That person is truthful, you know, whatever it is, but it's like, they don't realize that their skills are marketable across the board.
Yeah. Well, and we talked about this too, again, a little off the air is that I think a lot of it, and again, it's not a dig on the brave men and women who serve and protect us every day, but I think sometimes, you know, it's like you get, you know, it's a sewing circle. They all get together and say, well, shit, Mark, mm-hmm. you can't do anything else, dude. What are you going to do? This is the only thing, you know, you can do. I told you that, you know, I got some of those questions when I retired. Yeah. I'm like, what are you going to do, man? I was like, what are you talking about? Get out of my way. I'm going to go do whatever I want.
Yeah, I'm going to go do everything. Do it all. No,
exactly.
No, I totally, yeah, I hear you. It's the downward spiral, you know, yeah. It's like crabs in a bucket. Hey,
exactly.
You know, we're going to keep you here because if you go do something, then how come I can't go do it? You know, then it reflects on me. So if we all stay here, misery loves company, right?
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I just can't abide by that. And I'm the same way as you. You know, you support law enforcement, you know, 100%. I'm the same way. And I put this disclaimer in my classes whenever I teach, because I teach a whole lot about the comprehensiveness of policing, not just, hey, we're going to teach you how to do this. A tactic here and you're be set. Mine is the whole, what's your mindset? Why are you here? And I ask that question. I start out, I go, why are you here? Not in this class, because I know why you're in this class. Why are you in law enforcement? Why are you doing it? Who are you working for? And it's just, you know, my big thing is it's just like, it's finding that, you know, reason that you're doing it. And so many times, you know, cops, oh, well, I don't know. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Who do you work for? And it's getting back to that mentality of, all right, I am here for a big reason, because I believe there is no more noble profession than law enforcement. Mm-hmm. None. Yeah. And I support policing 100%. I support quality policing 100%. And my thing is, I believe law enforcement is too critical to have officers in this place who aren't here for the right reasons, mm-hmm. that being the community, right? And so you're here to protect people, and you're here to take care of this society that we've built up, and this fantastic country we live in. My God, you know, please. It's like, so what are you doing to further that? And if you're not here for that purpose, we have too many great police officers who are out here just busting it day in and day out to provide that community with the service that the community needs. And if you're not going to be along for the ride, then you got to get out of the car.
Yeah. Having the right people on the bus. And we talked about again is, you know, we are really good at taking care of other people's problems. But a lot of us, we fall short taking care of our own stuff. You know, we struggle with it. And I'm not trying to mitigate PTSD and all that stuff, depression, but I'm talking about taking chances and being versatile and going for your dreams. And if you want to write that book or you want to start that business like Mark Neal, I think so many times we let that little voice in our head say, man, you can't do that shit. You're going to fail. And tell us about, I really love what you said really quick, Mark. Tell me about your audience is going to love this about your theory on success, because I think you made such a great point off the air.
Oh, so, you know, we're talking about that. Like, you know, you say people's biggest fear is their fear of failure, right? That's what you're talking, what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my thing is, my theory is people have a greater fear of success, you know, cause failure, all right, you fail. But success, and here's my thing is that if you go out and do something and you succeed at it, you know, so many people would be like, oh my God, how come I didn't do that 20 years ago? How come I didn't do that? And if they do it, they have that success. They go, wow, I actually can do things. And it's almost like that you have shown yourself that you were so much bigger than you gave yourself credit for being for so long, you know? Yeah. And yeah, that they don't realize that they don't realize how big they are, because they're always playing small. Mm-hmm. But then they do it and they go, oh my God, I could do this. And then there's almost that letdown of, wow, I didn't even have confidence in myself.
Yeah.
And so I think that oftentimes that fear of success is even more stifling and more crippling than the fear of failure.
Yeah. And you got to have the right tribe around you, brother. I mean, I'm a firm believer, and I know you are. You just got to have the right people in your life, man, because you are who you associate with, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you've said it on the show. It's you're the sum of the, you're the average of the five people that you associate with, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I listen to the show, and it's like I sit there and listen to it going, oh my God, I want this to be my tribe. Right. You know, so many of the guests that you have on, I was like, okay, that person I want to be my tribe. You know, and it's, but you're right. It's who you surround yourself with.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Mark Neal, brother, if people want to reach out to you and employ your services, or just, hey, Mark, how's it going? I want to wrap with you. How can they find you?
My email is mneal, M as in Mark, N-E-A-L, at onyxtg.com. They can hit me up, website, onyxtg.com, onyxtraininggroup.com. We're on Facebook, have a Facebook page, Onyx Training Group. Any of those ways, you know, shoot me in, they can call me. I mean, I got no problem with people calling me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's however they want to get a hold of me. You know, I get people talking to me, emailing me from all over the place, you know, asking questions, tactical questions, things like that. I get people, hey, you know, I'm thinking about law enforcement. Sounds good. Let's talk, you know, and you know, I've got on the phone for a quick session, and I'm the type of person, I'm talking, I can't shut up. You know, I'm talking to somebody and all of a sudden it's an hour and a half later, you know, and yeah, you know, they're like, wow, you just took time out of your day. I'm like, dude, you are part of my day.
Yeah.
Right.
That's awesome.
If you want to get into law enforcement, we can get quality people in the law enforcement. I'll spend as much time as necessary for that.
That's awesome, brother. Well, Mark Neal, it's a pleasure and honor having you on the show, brother. Whatever we can do for you here at the show, please reach out to me. You got my contact information. Everything we talked about will be linked up in the show notes along with your contact information, brother. And once again, thank you so much for your service and your continued service to this great profession we call law enforcement.
Yeah, thank you too, Patrick. I appreciate it. Thank
you. All right, brother. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.